This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 265 this time, recorded on June 16th, 2016. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets, news reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting from a very warm, like 100-degree warm, Mike. Holy.
Do you want to get into my story about that today? We don't have to, but we could. I mean,
it was super hot. You've got a super hot story from the
Go ahead. Super hot story. Well, no, so today my car needed to be in the shop because they called and it's just, I've been having so many troubles. But today was going to be the final day. I forgot, though, that I had a TSA pre-check appointment that you have to go to at the same time. Well, so I Googled it, and it's like 30 blocks away, but the way my apartment's configured, it probably turned into like 40. And I was like, okay, you can't take an Uber 40 blocks. That's just too close. Like, you're going to, you know, pay too much. So I hopped on the bike for the first time. Oh. And this is the first time in like a year and a half. So first of all, it's 95 degrees, which I totally forgot about until I got outside. I have not done any cardio for about 6 months because of my ankle, and I decided this is the day that I'm going to go grab my bike and ride 40 blocks there and 40 blocks back, and it was way too hot for that. I got halfway, and I about called someone. I'm like, I got to get someone to pick me up. I'm out of shape. It's 95 degrees. I think I'm, like, more liquid than solid at this point. Yeah. It was just awful. But it was beautiful out, just super hot.
Oh, super, and super humid. Yes. Drashen is trying to... He's saying we're whining about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. He lives in San Diego, one of the most beautiful climates in the world, right? Gorgeous. On the beach. Sure, it gets a little warm down there, but they got the ocean breeze coming in. In Nebraska, 95 degrees with today, it had to be 75-80% humidity. That makes the heat index well into the hundreds. So
it was like the feels like temperature today was 107.
Yeah. Yeah, so, between 105 and 110. And you try to bike in it, and you just melt. It's just awful. And it's just weird because it's so early, right? We're so early in June. Typically, this is July, August weather for Nebraska, and just absolutely brutal. Anyways, well, it's hot here in Nebraska. Good thing we're indoors with air conditioning. And we post a show with world-class show notes out at the Average Guy. You like that?
Is that a perfect transition? Just come right back into it.
Out at theaverageguy.tv. You can also join us live on the new mobile app, and a bunch of you guys are doing that as well. Get it easy to subscribe buttons out at homegadgetgeeks.com if you want to get it that way. Really the best way to get it, easiest way to do it. We do have a bunch of different ways to subscribe if you go to theaverageguy.tv/subscribe. And there's a whole bunch of different ways. All the social media links are out there. So if you want to do that as well, you can get it done. Home Gadget Geeks is, of course, a part of the Geeks Network. I got part and course mixed up there. Find the links to this show and many other great podcasts, including a really good, I think I talked about this before, but Dave McCabe did a really good episode on Home Server Show about the Luma. And Luma Devices did an interview, well worth the time if you're thinking about mesh networking and some of those things. Well worth the time to head out to that as well. Mike, we're not doing open mic night anymore. Is it a little weird to have kind of a hole in your schedule? You gotten used to it?
Well, yeah, we were talking about covering WWDC. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, let me get on that because I'm not up to date. I guess the problem is I don't listen to too many of my Apple podcasts anymore because I don't need to prepare for my own. So I didn't even know any rumors. I had no idea what was going to happen. It was kind of nice. It was kind of like a surprise. Like WWDC happened, and I was like, I have no idea what's going to happen. This is kind of cool. It's like watching like a normal person. Not a hypey fanboy.
Yeah. Well, and you would have normally done this on your show when you closed down open mic night. I said, well, hey, we'll cover Apple stuff. I have an iPhone now. We'll cover Apple stuff as a part of the geek addiction, and so we'll be talking about that a little bit later. We'll talk about some E3. Kind of weird that both of those going on at the exact same time this year. Those announced, weird or not, whatever.
Literally the exact same time. E3 started like an hour before them, and so I was having to switch between both. Yeah, the exact same time.
Yeah, so kind of weird to be talking about them both at the same time, but we will do that. We'll do that tonight. Before we do that, we had said, hey, there's a noise going on down here. Can you hear that?
No, but you are really blurry to me. I don't know if it's my down or your up, but yeah, that's what I was going to ask for anyone else.
I, I did give the broadcast priority. Maybe we should give it back to the... You know, I've been... Oh, we got a question on the Facebook page there at theaverageguy.tv/Facebook, if you want to join our group, about... Somebody is asking about, hey, I've got an old TP-Link wireless router. What, you know, what should I be going with? And so we started this discussion. I mentioned the thing that we were doing with Luma, and of course, when you bring in that, there's the Open Mesh project that's going on. There is, and I'm trying to think of those other ones now that I need to think about it. I can't. But I've been working with the OnHub, and that's just a single solution, not a mesh. But it's been a good little router. And if you're looking for a single router, it's expensive though, right? I mean, it is, you know, it's $200. Let's say $185 if you're careful and you find it in the right place.
That's so about what you're going to pay for a high-quality router nowadays, though, surprisingly. Well, I was kind of looking around.
For any of those mesh ones, you're going to pay, you know, between $200 and $300 anyways.
Right.
And it's just kind of crazy. So you can kind of see here this is my network. Kind of hard to see, and maybe that's good. But I had prioritized the media center. That's what's kind of sending out the video this way. I'm going to go ahead and reprioritize the studio PC, which is the one... We'll change it for the next 2 hours, and we'll hit save. And now the media center, maybe it'll clear up here in just a second for you guys. I should get a little clearer as it reprioritizes on the fly. That's kind of cool. So that's the OnHub. That's the Asus OnHub. No, I have the TP-Link. Sorry. TP-Link OnHub. There's two versions, one with the Asus. Kind of fun to mess around with. The mobile app's kind of cool. Google's been promising a ton of stuff with it, but nothing has shown up yet. It's still pretty much just a wireless router. Anthony or Tony Rayner says Luma officially dropped the price for the 3-pack to $400 or $150 each. So it's still pretty expensive, like $400
right.
for three routers. Yeah, on the prosumer side, that's a little steep to, you know, to get into that kind of at that kind of price point. So yeah, you're right. Maybe $185 or $199 for a OnHub doesn't sound too bad.
Well, it's far superior to the Airport Extreme, which is also $200. And, you know, I use mine as an access point only, but when I had everything going through that with all the routing, that thing struggled to kind of keep up with all the stuff I put it through. So,
yeah. Yeah. Other Jim says live small is my solution. Yeah, there you go. You know, you can do that as well if you can make it work. I got the OnHub because I thought it would probably be the future of the way Google's behind it, and I thought it might be the future of all the things. Home automation is what, because they're headed that way.
Right.
Home automation. The question will be, can the software catch up to the hardware? So it's loaded with a bunch of hardware, but none of it's activated yet.
I was looking at the specs, and I thought the opposite. I thought, man, that hardware, it's only got a gig of RAM, which, you know, you think of these routers, and RAM's pretty important. You usually, 4, I thought, would be kind of awesome to have. Yeah. For if you want to, and if one is fine for just a normal router like it is now, but I think if they start packing it with more features, I think they're going to want some more RAM. But maybe you're right. Maybe one is totally fine for just a router.
That PF Sense router that I run, I had 4 gig in there, and I barely used the one that was okay. Part of it. So, yeah, you know, well, we'll see. It's one of those kinds of things we'll get hooked on in the future, and we'll see if it'll work out. So I mentioned we were going to talk about the Kangaroo PC tonight, and it Ben was going to come on, and I heard earlier yesterday that he had a conflict with a trip to Asia, and so I'm assuming that came up kind of quickly, and he's probably there. Mike, I speculated earlier, right or wrong. Anytime a quick trip to Asia comes up, it means a manufacturing problem.
And that's what he was in charge of, I think, right? Yeah. Well, last time he was on, so.
Kind of the engineer of the design and stuff.
Right.
We'll talk about it. I showed it a little bit last week. You know, I'm going to go ahead and disconnect it. I'm running it with, you know, with a little Mac keyboard. And just to be fair, I've got a Microsoft mouse on it, too. So
just to go back and forth.
Yeah, because just, you know. Just because I'm kind of fair that way.
Oh yeah.
But you can see here, this is kind of the new case that comes with it. The actual piece of hardware. And by the way, it's running. This is kind of the cool thing. We'll show you how this works. So this is on and it's running. I'll just pull it apart. Right? Oh, by the way, it's still running. Pretty cool, right? So you can see the stand here kind of makes an L. This is a little different. Mike's when we sent that Kangaroo to Mike, he basically has this piece, right? And on the bottom, Mike, you have right. What do you have on the bottom of yours?
We have we have HDMI, USB 3, USB 2, and power.
Which is a lot, right?
It's all I really need. Yeah. The audio jack is the only thing that I'm, like, really wishing I had.
Yeah, so that comes power. You know, we've got the power piece that's there. We've got two USB ports on the bottom, Ethernet here, VGA and HDMI. We were going to ask if you can use both. I think you can.
That would be awesome. We got to test that.
We'll find out. Yeah, I didn't have time to set it up. And that ever elusive, that's eluding you, right? The ever elusive headphones
audio jack.
Audio jack that's out there. Plugins are the same on this side. One of the cool things, and I was gonna kind of take it apart live for you guys, but I decided not to because that's probably the hardest thing I found about all of this from a manufacturing standpoint to put the hard drive in, because the rest of this is all hard drive. That's what this section is for. So you can put a 9.5 millimeter, 2.5 inch form factor drive in here. There's two screws right there. Pull those, and then you would think it just pops out, and it doesn't. You've got to insert a piece in there and pop it, and it's a little awkward. I felt like I was going to break things. You know, it was just tight enough that, like, oh, well, it's a rental, so, just got to open it up now. And the drive is right behind here. If you've used an IC dock product before, which a lot of the listeners have, the inside looks a lot like an IC dock. There's four more screws and a little plate. You just pull that plate off, put the drive in, and slide it down. It makes a connection right there to the bus. Then put the plate back on top, four screws, put this in, two screws, and you're done. And so I've put a 350 gig spinner in here to get it done. Oh, by the way, there's a USB 2 or USB 3 on this side. So that's
I was wondering about that, because the other two are 2.0 ones. So
they are, yeah. So you get three on the side if you want to do it that way. And then when you're done, again, blue light still on, pretty cool. So slap that thing back in there, put it back together, and we'll slide it back over. And I'm using a little stand for it. So I always got to remember to turn it turn it the other way around. I had an extra VGA monitor, so that's kind of what I didn't plug it in HDMI for any reason, except I don't have a monitor. So we'll plug keyboard, mouse. I could do Wi-Fi if I wanted to. It's got a pretty good Wi-Fi. But let's go ahead and just put that back together. We'll give it a second. It's not instant back on, but there it is. You saw how fast that came up. So came up pretty fast. Put my finger over that. It says, oh, well, hold on. That's funny. Windows Hello has been blocked, is what it's telling me now. There we go. I've seen that message come up a couple times on Windows 10, especially using the fingerprint identifier for Windows Hello. I used to use the fingerprint reader on that thing to log into it, and it's in and up and running. Mike, a couple of things with it. $199 for the Pro. This is the Pro version, $199. I think yours was $99, right? That's what we paid. What we paid for yours. Runs super hot during updates. I mean, it's letting the heat out through the case. There are some, there are some vents on it as well. But a good little upgrade. I think the theory is, and if we had Ben here tonight, I think the theory is, at home here, I have it in the home dock, and then when I go to work, I pull it out, put it in my pocket, and I could do that pretty easily. Put it in my pocket, then I get to work, so we'll just simulate that. I'll go to work, here, I'll pull that thing out, right? So now it's, there you have it in my hand, right? Still on, we'll give it a second. Then I would take it to work, and I might have your dock at work, or it might be vice versa, right?
Right.
From that standpoint.
Well, that's where I like, too, that tiny dock for traveling with the iPad. I did not think I would use that feature as much as I have, where now I have a full PC, I have a full computer that I could do everything on with the iPad as the monitor, and that eliminates, because I bring my iPad anyway on trips, now I can leave my laptop at home, because my laptop is so old that this Kangaroo actually probably kills it in terms of specs. It's such an old laptop, so even this tiny PC is good enough for me when I'm on the road.
Yeah, I plugged it in, it fired right back up, so there it is, right? I didn't even have to log back in again, because it hadn't even gone to sleep yet. I have paired it with, I've got a keyboard. I've got one of the Microsoft Wedge keyboards that I've paired it with, which would make a really nice addition. One of the things I wanted to ask Ben tonight is, could I put a USB 3 monitor on there and drive that off?
I bet you could.
Yeah. I don't know why you couldn't. I almost bought one. They were like $95. I almost bought one to try, and I thought, well, I'll ask Ben before I spend money to get that done. Here's one of the drive sizes. So if you're just This is that 9.5.
Okay. The one thing I was going to ask him, and I don't know if anyone in our community that has also picked one of these up has this issue. Apparently, it's a Windows 10 issue, not a Kangaroo issue. But if you're using AC, apparently there's a problem with the radios going back and forth. And so, like, when my Kangaroo would go to sleep on Wi-Fi, because I have an AC base station and this is AC, if it falls asleep, it loses connection and won't come back without a reboot. I solved that with an Ethernet USB 3 adapter. But I was going to ask him what the deal is with Windows 10 and maybe that particular wireless card or whatever it is. You know, so I don't know. I just didn't know if anyone else was having those issues. But there is a way you can fix it. You can go in and set, hey, stay on this channel only, and then you're good. It's when it tries to negotiate is that there's an issue. But apparently it was a Windows 10 issue that everyone is having across the board, not just with the Kangaroo. So good to know. I was glad to read, okay, good. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I connected to Wi-Fi. That piece worked just fine. I am coming off the Ethernet connection that's on there. It's just better to do.
That's what I prefer anyway.
It will not fire up the hard drive on the battery. So if your power is not connected, it will shut down your hard drive.
Oh, that's a nice feature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's assuming the dock will have power 24/7. I think that's kind of maybe one of the design features that they brought into it is kind of 24/7 connectivity to it. But now that I've got this dock, that scenario, I think for $40 I can pick up your dock. And that scenario where I have this dock at home and that dock at work, and I'm plugging it in, you know, whatever, or vice versa, man, all of a sudden that's pretty cool. And I think that battery's like a 4-hour battery.
It's lasted a lot longer than I thought. Because there's been times where I've left it, I didn't know I wasn't plugged in, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, you're low on battery. I'm like, I haven't touched that thing in a long time. Wonder how long it's been on battery.
And it treats, Windows 10 treats that battery like a laptop battery. So you can tell how much of a charge that you have. I mean, there's really no difference between those two. So, you know, Mike, for $199, man, I think they've hit it again, especially on the Windows side. It's a little slow still. You know, we expect it, right? It's got that 1.44 gigahertz kind of mobile chip that's in there. And it's got 2 gig of RAM. And I'd love 4. Just still don't know why we can't get 4 gig of RAM in there. Right. It's got to be some reason. I'm sure it's a good reason.
With that CPU, though, are you using anything that would even need 4 gigs of RAM? I mean, with the CPU limitations, I don't know if really the RAM... I think the CPU is probably more of the issue than the RAM. Maybe not. But for me, I'm like, okay, when I run into issues, it's usually I'm pegging the CPU before I start pegging the RAM.
Yeah. Did you use yours as a media center at one point? Did you get that? Did you plug it in and try and use it as a media center? I know I tried running Windows 7, and I could install Windows 7 on your. That didn't work very well to use traditional media center.
Right.
Krishna is saying his problem with these PCs is that they generally don't have enough CPU to place HD video reliably. I would probably agree that it could get a little sketchy. When it was new and it was doing updates and stuff, boy, trying to get anything else going at the same time was a little rough. I had to let it run for a couple days and settle down, and it was hot, like the temperature of the sun, hot for a while. I don't think this is a media center replacement. Right. I think you could probably watch some kind of video, maybe like the same stuff you'd watch on your phone,
mm-hmm.
you know, type deal. You're probably not going to get HD running on this, you know, on this.
Even the phone, I think, can handle some of that video a little bit better. But using it, you know, knowing its limitations and then working with those, it's a great device. You know, knowing, okay, I'm not going to be able to do these activities, but when I take it with me, I have the full desktop experience.
Yeah, yeah. Other Jim says, isn't the free MS license for the device under the 2 gig RAM? It might be. I don't. Microsoft's changed.
I think he said that in the first interview, actually.
But I think Microsoft's changed some of their licensing stuff. I'd have to dig in a little bit to take a look. So, I will continue to sit on the desk and we'll do some stuff with it. I think from a light duty, you know, it until like Windows Continuum, right, on the Windows Phone was kind of that. That's where I think Microsoft thought they were going with their phones and they would get Continuum working, and it's just been a disaster. I mean, Continuum is nowhere closer to being useful for anybody than it was a year ago. And so this, from a portability standpoint, could for light duty, you know, in most cases, you're not gonna do a lot of heavy video editing.
Right.
Even audio editing might be questionable. Anything that's running some serious, you know, processing power. No, You're not going to do that on this. This is going to be surf the web, check your email, watch a few YouTube videos.
Right.
You know, that kind of deal. But horribly portable. I mean, in a great way, in the sense that, you know, you saw me pull that out. I could put that in my pocket. I mean, it's smaller than my phone.
Well, and for $99, it's one of those computers that you can take and make it your surf the web on your TV computer. You can make it anything because of the portability. I take it back and forth between the living room and this office all the time, because when Hannah and I are wanting a computer to do stuff out there, it's fantastic.
Yeah. And if you're logging into virtual machines somewhere, you know, if this is your connectivity device to something else, that would be pretty cool as well. The deal, like at $199, it's hard to beat. Mike, I mean, it's hard.
I don't think you get those specs anywhere else for $199. I just don't think it's out there.
No, those guys seem to be doing it right. We will work on getting Ben back out here. We were hoping to have him here for most of the program, but we like I said, he is on his way to Asia, so we'll spend a little more time with him when we can get him back and talk a little bit more about it. So they seem to be selling well, you know, and be interesting to see how this new dock sells. With the device, and is it worth the extra $100? So pretty cool. All right, let's dig in a little bit to E3, because that came up this week, and of course Microsoft's at E3, Microsoft made some big announcements about the Xbox. Why don't you walk us through a few of them?
Yeah, so they started off E3 talking about the brand new Xbox S, but kind of we'll save that for the hardware piece of things. Really, one of the big improvements is that Xbox is really trying to focus on their live gaming and making sure that everyone can play together, you can find people to play with, and just as kind of I'm a very low-key gamer. I like to do it when I have some extra time, I just need to kill stuff, but I definitely don't like to sit down and like for a few hours a day and play. I play for like 10-15 minutes, but my big problem was with Xbox is I have a few friends that have Xboxes, and we'll play every once in a while, but I don't have a lot of friends that play the games I play. So Xbox was making a big initiative to, it's almost like when you think of global matchmaking, think of like, okay, I need someone that I want to play with in this game that's my experience level, that's not taking it seriously, let me find those people, even though they're not my friends. And you can now do that on like the system level, not per game. So the games had that. Destiny was their big flagship game that kind of had that matchmaking type, but now you have it kind of on the system on Xbox Live as part of a feature. So it's kind of nice. Live is moving more towards a community, finding people, discovering friends that are your same style of gameplay, which is great. So that's one of their big initiatives on the live side of things, but on the hardware side of things, extremely interesting. So they opened up with Xbox S. Their very first briefing was the very first scene was this new Xbox S. So the S model is a white version of the Xbox One that's 40% smaller, a ton smaller, which is one of the biggest complaints I have about the Xbox. The Xbox is a huge machine, plus you have an external power brick. So with the S, 40% smaller on the body size, and also the battery or the power brick is built in. So you've got that all in one, and you've also got an IR blaster on the front, meaning the only way with the Xbox One now that you have IR control is through the Kinect. So you have to have that external Kinect. Well, with the S, you can still get the Kinect to do any sort of video and audio, but at least you have the IR blaster, which is honestly the only reason that we have the Kinect is for that IR blaster. So with the S, the reasons people are going to upgrade is obviously for the price of the system, you actually get a lot of storage. So you can get up to a 2 terabyte hard drive in there for the $399. $299 gets you a 500 gig, which is what the Xbox One originally shipped with.
Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts. I mean, just the price of those things have gone down. And so I have the 500 gig, and I had to hang a terabyte USB 3 drive off of it just to have enough storage, because with the Xbox, the thing you don't realize when you get the One, if you haven't had a recent current gen system, is that everything is installed on the hard drive, every game. There's no such thing as putting in a disc and playing from the disc anymore. When you first put in the disc, which actually none of us really use discs anymore, we buy it from the store. When you put in the disc, it says, wait, let me install this game first, and it copies all that data over to the hard drive. So it takes up a lot of space. If you have a decent sized library, you're easily going past a terabyte even. So the 2 terabyte model I think is great. I think that's probably what I'll upgrade to eventually is this model, because of the fact if you do have a 4K TV, you can now take advantage of 4K from Netflix through your Xbox One S. So it does 4K, which the Xbox One current gen right now does not, and it also does HDR gaming. So not to be confused, when they say 4K, a lot of people were saying, hey, we got 4K gaming finally. The 4K is only for streaming video, such as like Netflix and Hulu and any of those providers. The gaming is HDR, which is, I think, high dynamic range, which I've never been a fan of, but apparently it looks a lot better to a lot of other people. So you've got a little bit higher quality gaming, you've got better storage, you've got 4K capabilities, and all in a very small, slim form factor. And I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but it's white now. So instead of black, the S is white. And for the same price as you could buy a current gen model right now. So right now, they actually just dropped the price $20. So my machine right now, if I had bought it yesterday, it would have been $299. They bumped that down to $279. So if you want one right now, you can get that for $279. This S comes in at the same exact price, which I thought was really cool of Microsoft. Usually, if you have these sort of increases in gaming, you can go up a little bit. But I think the reason that they stayed down low is because of the next thing we'll talk about, which is Project Scorpio. But Jim, did I convince you at all on the S? Because I sent you a message as soon as they sent it out. I'm like, okay, man, I think it's time you hop on the Xbox bandwagon. It's pretty awesome.
Well, still no TV announcements. And I think when we make the jump to TV and some TV recording, I'm in. Right? That'll be the moment that will bring me in. Because
I think that's got to come soon.
Today I'm using a second box. I'm running Windows 7. I'm a Media Center guy. I'm holding on to it as long as Media Center gets media updates. That's kind of where I'm at. So, and I'm not a gamer at all. There is no reason I would use an Xbox if I had one.
Okay.
Except for TV. That's all I would use it for. And the kids are gone, and, you know, I'm not back here playing games. Now, maybe I should be back here playing games, you know?
Well, you know, okay, the gaming is part of it, but I asked Hannah this the other day. I said, okay, so you don't play a single video game. Is the Xbox One still something that you would recommend to someone? She goes, oh, in a heartbeat. She goes, in a heartbeat. She goes, I totally wife approve. And she does not play a single minute of video games ever. She actually is very opposed to them. She doesn't think they're good for me, and she doesn't like me to play them. But with the Xbox, the things that people, like, I think people just don't, when the Xbox first came out and they said, okay, this is going to be your one box to your living room, people said, okay, great. Then they bought them. And they didn't set up all the features. And I think because people didn't set up all the features, or people didn't get the Kinect, and they didn't get the IR cable. So they've never really installed everything and had it be 100% awesome. So if you don't have the Kinect, you can get an IR cable. Or if you have the Kinect, this box, I have not switched an input in forever because it does my gaming. You have the HDMI pass-through, so my box plugs right into the Xbox. The Xbox One media remote controls the volume on the TV. It controls the channels from my cable box through the IR blaster on the Kinect. It does everything. It just controls everything. It's one remote, much simpler. The guide on the Xbox One is the best guide you will find out there. I went back to my cable box on one of the TVs in the bedroom, and I was like, this thing is ugly. How did I even put up with this until I had the Xbox? So I think people could start thinking about the Xbox, and I think with the Slim being smaller with the blaster built in, I think they're thinking about this. I think they're saying, hey, what were the issues with the first one? Oh, well, out of the box, if you got one, it couldn't control your TV. You could run the pass-through, but that wasn't any good because you still had to find your cable box remote. So I said, okay, let's build in the IR blaster, and let's kind of rethink this to be the one box you need in your living room. So I think for those reasons, some people might find them actually pretty useful, although it's kind of hard to beat a Chromecast at $30 when you could, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't use those.
But it's still an awesome device.
I've got three of them, and I don't use them.
You don't use the Chromecast, really?
No. Just, I don't know. It's a weird, I'm probably weird that way. But so regular DVD or Blu-ray for the DVD? Do you know?
Both. It does Blu-ray. Okay. And does the current one does Blu-ray, too.
It does Blu-ray as well. Okay.
Yep.
So you get both those. Well, you know, it may be one of those things. If I could, like I said, if I could get it to replace the DVR functionality,
right,
it'd be no-brainer. That'd be the next. I'd have two.
I was so excited that they were going to announce it. And I told Hannah, and she goes, that would be legendary. I
said, can you hang drives off this one? Will this take expansion drives as well?
Or? Yep, okay. They do. Yep, any USB 3 drive that's more than 250 gigs, you can use as a storage device.
I think if I was going to jump in now, I would jump in with a smaller version, the $299, take it, and if they ever updated and got the point where DVR would be working, then I probably would hang a drive. You know,
see, and that's what I'm worried about, because I thought about this. There are a lot of things that can't be installed on that external drives. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. They don't tell you what can't be installed. Games and apps, it can go across, but some apps will fail to install, some games will fail to install on the external, and I just worry they're going to say, okay, yeah, DVR, but it can only be recorded to the internal hard drives. I'm like, oh man, do you pay the money up front? You know, by the time you bought a 1 terabyte external drive or even 2 terabytes, you're going to be spending $60 anyway. You're right. So the extra 100 might be worth it to kind of future-proof it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting. But yeah, the DVR capability is one of those things I think more people will be jumping on.
Got to be coming.
I think the licensing is probably the hardest part on that. I just can't imagine how. Yeah, that's got to be. And that's why I think external drives won't be supported. You've got a bunch of media stored on there that they can take over to a computer and easily find a way to hack around and grab that content and then throw it out there. So I thought, I bet it's only going to go to the internal.
Yeah, huge knock for the original Xbox One was sound noise, right? It sounded like a jet engine when you fired it up. Do you know, did anybody say anything? Did they make it quieter, or did they work on that?
No, I didn't pay attention to that because I don't have that issue, so I don't know.
Mine's pretty quiet?
Mine's dead quiet, yeah. I mean, it's a huge fan on top, and I don't even notice it's really on.
Okay.
Then again, I'm not hardcore gaming out a lot. Maybe if I was putting it through the works, we usually use it for Netflix and TV, but yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, interesting. There's something coming up, though, next year. Super surprised they announced this so far in advance. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, and this is why, okay, so they kept the Xbox One S at the current price point, and I think that is because they also announced a project for next year. So a year from this holiday season, Project Scorpio is being released, and Project Scorpio is going to be a massive, massive improvement to not only Xbox, but to like console gaming as a whole, I think. We obviously haven't heard from PS4. We don't know what they're going to do, but Project Scorpio is the next gen of gaming where Xbox looked at, they said, hey, all these guys are on the PC side, they're building these gaming rigs that are awesome, and they're able to play at the highest graphic settings without dropping frames, and it's like a whole community there, because they've got the high-powered gaming rigs. Why can't we do that on a console? Why is console just kind of this dumbed-down, cheap computer in a box that people like to play on their TV? So they said, okay, no, this is pretty much going to be a beefy gaming PC in the form factor of an Xbox. So this is coming out next year. Not too many things released yet. Prices not talked about. I'm guessing this thing, I mean, if I was to throw up, I would say at least $1,000, if not way more than that. I think $1,000 is like the minimum they're going to have to charge for this thing. So with Project Scorpio, it's true 4K gaming. It's not scaled up. It's true 4K gaming. So your actual games that you're playing are not going to drop frames. They're going to be at 4K, and they're going to look awesome, according to them. So I don't know what this means, but 6 teraflops of computing power, you know, I'm not a huge nerd into that stuff, so I have no idea what that means. But it sounds cool, right? Like this, I think
teraflop is 1,000 gigahertz, 1,000 gigahertz.
Okay, so there you go. Six teraflops.
Six of those, so it's going to have some probably multi-CPUs or GPUs in it, I imagine.
Right. So I'm imagining a huge gaming rig in the size of a Xbox. And then VR, which I thought you would find interesting. So it's got natural VR built in. So I'm guessing you could plug in a little headset and this device could control your VR.
Like, which VR?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is the weird thing. Like,
so do they have their own coming out, or are they going to use someone
Oculus?
Else's? Yeah, is it
Oculus? Assuming it's Oculus, right?
It would probably be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so he says flops are operations per second. So somebody figure out what was the figure? 6 teraflops? What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
I have no idea either. Yeah. I watched it. I was like, oh, it sounds cool, though.
Trillion of ops per second. So 6 trillion ops per second.
And you already hear, you know, the really high-end gamers, the people they were talking about who have the high-end gaming rigs already saying, okay, it's not going to be as good as our rigs, which... maybe not. I don't know. We don't know enough details about it yet. But I think this is going to be, they're going to have the Xbox, the console for everyone, the $300 product that everyone can buy, and I think that's why they kept it at that price point. And they're going to have this as an option. Now, the big thing that they said with Project Scorpio was everyone's worried, like, oh, okay, are us Xbox One users going to be left in the dust? You're telling me if I buy a thing in August, am I going to be out of date next year? They said no, all the same games going to come out for all of them. No one's going to get left behind, no matter what you have. If you have the Xbox I have, then the S or the Project Scorpio, you won't get left behind. It's just that Project Scorpio can run these games at a much higher frame rate, do 4K gaming, and maybe have even some more features. But which I think is good, I think it's noble, but it kind of reminds me of when the One first came out. When the One first came out, they're like, oh, it'll be fine, don't worry, and then there was the true split off of gaming, which they actually went in reverse. Now you can play 360 games on the Xbox, but you couldn't back then. So I don't know, it's something that's interesting to me simply because I've always agreed. I'm like, why do we pay $399 for a kind of dumb computer that sits there? Now, all of the media capabilities for me justified it. But if those weren't there, I was like, this thing's kind of lacking in power.
Yeah.
On the Xbox One that I have. So I can't off the top of my head rattle off the transfer rates, but the USB 3 bus is faster than the SATA port that connects the internal hard drive. So it's actually advantageous on my Xbox to run a USB 3 drive off the back. You get better speeds, better performance if you run it than if you install things on the internal drive.
That's like, hilarious.
What is that? Yeah. Why does one of your peripheral ports run faster than your internal drive? It's just, yeah. So I've always thought that's been a little bit interesting, but I think they're going to change the game with Project Scorpio.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, interesting. One reason maybe I won't move as well. I mean, yeah. Although I think from a price point perspective, this is going to be significantly more, right, when we think about it.
It's going to be buying a gaming PC.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
You're buying a gaming rig.
And so I probably won't. It's not that important to me. I'm not this is for the hardcore gamers. For people like us, we have the Xbox S, which, right, we can watch our stuff in 4K. I don't need to game in 4K. So I have the S at this price point, and I'll still be able to play with my buddies who are super into it, and they're on the Scorpio. It doesn't matter. So I think there's definitely filling a niche, though, a huge community. Actually, I shouldn't call it a niche. It's a huge community is the high-end gaming route. Yeah. But try to convince someone to not buy or upgrade their PC and switch over? I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I'm having a little trouble because I want one. Because I've got the Band. I've got a Surface.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of PCs here. I'm in the Microsoft ecosystem for a lot of ways. I use Azure. You know, it makes sense to have an Xbox. But I just can't seem to get that excited about it. You know, I feel like it'd be a $400 brick that it'd be like, well, let me turn it on and see if there's an update to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Kinda my Surface is kinda like that today. I need to use that thing more. You know, I need to take it with me on some things. And I've used it when I travel and those kinds of, but I'm not getting full use out of it, that's for sure. And that was an expensive piece of equipment I should sell.
Right. They're adding more things in to make it a little bit more justifiable. One cool thing, if you're in the Insider or if you're in the preview program on the Xbox, you can throw your monitor up on your Xbox. From your Windows 10 PC. So I'm sitting in the office. I'm looking at a house. I said, Hannah, check this out. She's in the living room, and I just press a button, and it shows up on there, and she's like, oh, cool. And then I take it back. And so, I mean, they're adding in some features that make it nice for me.
Yep.
And I think it's definitely for some people and not for others.
Yeah, yeah. No, good overview. Some interesting things coming up on the Microsoft side, and we'll have to see, you know, if you're a listener and you're an Xbox guy. I get the feeling, Mike, there's not very many Xbox people that listen to us. I can't get that feeling.
We don't talk about it. No one complains that we don't talk about it.
No. I know.
For that
know.
One
no
guy.
No one's like, hey, when are you going to go
to Xbox? Yes, talking about Xbox. There you go. You just got, like, what, 20 minutes worth of a plug there.
Yeah, you got of love, and we won't talk about it again until next year when they're
Scorpio.
A year and a half from now when they're releasing Scorpio. Yeah, that's for sure. So, well, don't forget, July 29th is quickly approaching on the Windows 10 side, and if you haven't upgraded your PCs yet, that is going to go away, I would assume, at this point, barring any kind of miracles from Microsoft, that the Windows 10 free upgrade is going away July 29th. So if you've not upgraded yet, and you're going to do, if you're not, I ran the Never 10 on some of my Media Center stuff, so it would stop reminding me, and that does work. Stop reminding me to upgrade to Windows 10. It's like, no, I don't want to upgrade to Windows 10. Leave me alone. And so I've run that, and that's worked pretty well. But what's kind of cool is the new builds. So anniversary update is coming up this summer as well, which will push everybody from their current version to a newer. Man, some of the newer builds, wow, they've got some really interesting things, especially around inking. They're really making a lot of back-end changes on the way you update. Windows Defender has gotten kind of a whole overhaul on that. Now, how good it is, I don't know. I haven't put it to its paces, and it hasn't been tested that widely yet. But it, Windows 10 is catching back up. I mean, it's still maybe a little ways from a Windows 7 of being a complete operating system. It's got some ways to go. So removing some things and adding new things in to try and get that whole operating system to look the same. It's still a little herky-jerky. Some areas are like Windows 7, some are like Windows 10. when you go into the control panel in particular. The control panel still feels like Windows 7. And everything else is coming on Windows 10. So if you haven't done that yet, the clock is ticking. We are about 6 weeks away at this point from that date. So make sure you're thinking about it. You're going to do something or other. Mike, did you put the kangaroo on the Insiders program?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite part about it, is being able to like be up to date with you guys in your Windows community.
Yeah, and you're seeing some of the significant changes they've made in Windows 10. And when I say significant, I don't mean like night and day, but it is a big difference. The Windows 10 and the Insider Preview has got some significant UI differences than what we saw in, and that's probably not even a misnomer too, but I can see the little changes they've made to really make it easier and better to use. Interface is a lot better, notification center is a lot better. You're just getting kind of some of that integrated. Support for devices is a lot better. Drivers are getting a lot better. So
which is so new to me. So being in this Insider program on Windows, like if Mac changed one of those little tiny features, it would be an hour-long announcement. Like, it's the most beautiful notification bar change we've ever made. You know, it's and so here it's like, oh, they just threw it in there. It almost catches me by surprise, which is why I like seeing them. It's like, oh, this is kind of cool. You get all these updates without the big hoopla.
Yeah, and every week. Now, they'll slow down between now and July. I think we'll see every other week or something as those builds come out. But, yeah, no, they're just scrambling. This is a weird Windows or a weird Microsoft because they are cranking out changes. I mean, just every update's like, oh, here's some new stuff. Right. The inking has gotten really good on Windows 10 when you think about, you know, grabbing your Surface Pen, if you've got one of those, and drawing on stuff. And, by the way, I haven't tested it yet, but I think we're going to see LastPass extension available inside Edge. So if we get LastPass in Edge Browser by summer, that could be a big deal for a lot of people being able to use. For me, I might use Edge a little bit more than Chrome for some things, if knowing that it's kind of the new, fresh, great way of doing it. I like the way Edge renders. I like its look. It's clean for now.
On the Kangaroo, runs a lot smoother.
Does it than Chrome?
Yeah.
Well, I just don't think it's as, like, Chrome's a pig.
Oh, it's a hog. Oh. On any machine, Chrome just hogs everything.
It is just, so I'll need to do a little bit of work over the next couple weeks to try out that LastPass extension coming. I think it's only available in the previews coming up. So if that happens, because that's really, I guess, so many passwords, Mike. I can't really run a browser without help from LastPass. So
me too.
Hopefully it's coming. All right, as we kind of do the last third, if you're not an Apple fanboy, just shut it off right now. We don't want to hear you complaining. It is important, some of the stuff. It's interesting, and we'll have some interesting things to say about it. But, Mike, let's talk. WWDC was last week, right?
This week as well? No, same time as E3. The announcements, I was playing them at the same time.
And let's talk a little bit about what they came out with.
Yeah, so WWDC, for those non-Apple fans, is not their hardware announcements. It's all about software for them. So it's their Worldwide Developers Conference, where they kind of give the devs kind of the inside look at some of the new features, but they let us into it. So they divided this one out pretty simply into four categories. So you have Watch iOS, you have TV OS, now renamed Mac OS, which kind of fits, and iOS 10. So those were kind of the four main categories, and when you kind of run through them, they definitely spent more time towards the latter two of those than the first ones, but we can kind of just talk about some basic things they talked about with Watch iOS and TV OS. With Watch iOS, pretty much, it was all speed improvements, which is going to be a much appreciated update, let me tell you, because it's an awesome device. I love my watch. I wear it every day. It does a good enough job being a device that I can't go a day without wearing it, and that's hard to do, is make a device something that's part of me every single day.
What's the battery life on those now, for the most part? How often are you charging them?
I could get 2 days. When I throw it on the charger, usually I'm at 55-60%.
And you do it overnight, I assume, when you're sleeping, so right. No sleep tracking.
No sleep tracking. No. Okay. No. So no sleep tracking. I probably could. Like I said, I could get 2 days out of it, but I just throw it on the charger every night just because I don't need the sleep tracking. Not a big deal for me.
Before we move on, one of the things I've been most disappointed about the Surface, or the band, the Microsoft band, from a watch standpoint, it literally is a day. That's it. And lately, my battery, I think something's wrong with it, because I get 70%, or I get down to about 30%, and it just shuts off. So I'm not even getting a full day. Yeah, it's a problem. I think I'm going to have to get a new one. But that cycle, especially for a watch that you want to wear to track your sleep, you've got to remember in the evening sometime, pull that thing right off and charge it. And that's just not fitting me. It's one of those kinds of things. When I saw these announcements and watched the keynote about the watchOS, hard to believe I'm going to admit this, Mike. I was like, oh, maybe I'll get an Apple Watch next, right?
Don't say it.
Oh, I can't believe I'm even saying that, but I
did. All right, so I covered E3, you covered WWDC. We'll just completely revamp the show here.
How weird is this?
It's
like it's like the Twilight Zone. What the hell is going on here?
But, I mean, it's one of those things that's true, and we've talked about this, going back and forth between, you know, the better product, and really right now they're all so similar. It's the little tiny things that matter. So speed was the one thing that I'll tell you Apple Watch is terrible with. You launch an app, and I might as well have pulled out my phone and be doing that instead of looking at my watch. And that's the whole point of the watch. And they mocked this, right? They made a joke about it. They said, the whole point of a watch is you do a glance, and you're supposed to be able to see things at a glance and put it back down. So they really did increase the speed by allowing background app refreshes. So they showed, they said, okay, this is what the current experience is like. And he taps on an app, and they just wait. And they look at that spinning circle, and they wait, and they wait. Like, this is what the new one's like. He tapped it, it went right away because of the background refresh. Some other things that they added was kind of a new dock for your favorite apps. Instead of this button being kind of useless and selecting people, it can now select apps. Select apps. SOS 911, kind of a nice feature. So if you have your watch with you and you're in an emergency situation, pressing down and holding the button and sliding will immediately call emergency personnel, even if you're outside the country and you don't know what their 911 equivalent is, which is kind of nice. I thought that was a nice feature, something they said you'll never use, but when you need to use it, it might be there for you.
When you need to use it, you won't remember how to do that.
Or when Apple needs 10 more minutes to fill in the keynote, and they thought, shoot, what else can we put in? That's the feature right there. And there's some more of those. There was definitely a lot of filler, which I thought was weird because it was a super long announcement. I didn't think they needed filler. I thought they could have taken some of the stuff out. But and then the one feature that I'm kind of most excited for on the watch is Scribble, meaning you get a notification and you want to reply to a text, which I do a lot on my watch instead of getting out my phone. But most of the time, if I'm using my watch, that means that I'm in a situation that's probably inappropriate to pull out my phone. And so beyond the standard responses, you can just kind of just scribble your letters real quick on your wrist and you could send something real quick, which I think I'll use all the time.
That can't be that great, though. I just don't think that you're going to find that unusable on that size. You'll have to prove this to me, that this scribble stuff works.
But it's one letter at a time. You're doing SC, like, you know.
I don't know. Maybe for you. You'll put up with that. I would not put up with, you know, that's like in the old days with the phones when the kids would text and they had to do the numbers.
T9.
And my kids would do it, and I was like, not in a million years am I going to do that. I don't think I would scribble on my watch.
Right, and I won't use it all the time, but, you know, how often do I respond on my watch anyway? I'm doing it in situations where I can't either talk to it. Usually I'll talk to my watch, and that's the best way ever. Like, to get something and just respond right in there. So, but if I'm at in a meeting, you know, and just or at class, you can do it on the table. So, yeah, it's a feature in there that I think I will use a lot, just because I find myself being like, dang, I can't respond to this. So, so beyond that, not too much with watchOS. They did a lot with accessibility and features beyond the normal activity trackers, but nothing too exciting there. tvOS, really nothing much new. They didn't have too much. A single sign-on was really my biggest thing. Like, oh, that makes so much sense. So instead of having every single app ask you who your cable provider is, you do it one time and it unlocks all your apps for you. So really beyond that, though, they had some Siri improvements, but nothing big. macOS got a kind of a nice update, and they said, okay, we need a new naming convention. And they listed all their other OSs, and they said, we're just going to do it. And so they did macOS. So it makes sense. So no more OS 10. So this is macOS Sierra is going to be their latest update. Continuity updates were pretty cool. So using your Apple Watch, if I have my Apple Watch on and I sit down at my laptop or my iMac, it doesn't ask me for my password. It knows I'm here. It does that. Things that, you know, I always say this about WWDC, but a lot of this is playing catch up on the software side of things. You know, hardware is really where we like to see Apple. I love those announcements. A lot of the software stuff was stuff that's been out for other operating systems that they're catching up with. So those sort of continuity things, copy and paste across all your devices. This was one of those like, duh, that makes sense, and it's awesome. Like, I think that sounds great. So you're on your phone, you copy something, you can paste it on your computer, you're on your iPad, however you want to do it, copy and paste is across all of your iOS devices that you have with you, which makes a lot of sense. So copy and
paste. Yeah, although I find copy and paste on a phone ridiculously cumbersome anyway, so I do very little copy and pasting.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a big copy paste guy on the phone. I don't know. I use it a lot. Maybe when I'm like posting about my vlog.
Copy paste link. I find it really cumbersome on the iPhone. I just don't. Okay. It's kind of like you got to get those things. And maybe it's because I have big fat thumbs and fingers, and I'm stupid and that kind of stuff. But I don't. I only use it when I absolutely have to. I'm just not a big copy and paste fan. When that wasn't on Windows Phone for the longest time, I'm like, so what? Like, you know, that's a desktop function, not a phone function. But somebody said, I think it was Drashness, said, called me the old man. So maybe I am, like, get off my lawn. You know, with copy and paste. I just don't use it.
Man lately. Yeah.
I just don't use it.
Between devices, I think I will use that quite a bit. And
that could be cool. Yeah, that could be cool.
Right. And then, of course, storage improvements. Apple's kind of making an initiative to use their cloud in better ways, which scares me because every time Apple tries to do cloud, they do it wrong. They mess it up, and it doesn't work, and it crashes things, and it makes it bad and awful. So let us use Dropbox. Don't try and be cloud. Like, I don't like the idea of them being cloud. Now, if it works, great, whatever. iCloud, I pay for the big subscription simply because of my photo library. It's the easiest way for me to synchronize all my photos, so I have it for that. I have never put a single document in the cloud, though. But apparently, they're doing some smart things with your OS if you want it to, where older files are now going to be that you haven't touched in a while are stored in the cloud instead of taking up space on your local drive. So, you know, improvements like that, that may be a reason that I can start using Cloud Drive. But instead of that, I just use Dropbox. I have so many other solutions. OneDrive, Google Drive, anything like that is far better than their solution. But, you know, you never know in the future. They also are adding Apple Pay to the computer, and they made the joke that, no, this is not you carrying your iMac into a store and paying with Apple Pay with your computer. Instead, you have the option to Apple Pay in a browser, pick up your phone, and authenticate it with the Touch ID on your phone and set it back down. Makes a lot of sense. I'm kind of a big fan of Apple Pay, and I've talked about that. And on the computer is where it makes sense for me because I hate typing in my credit card information. LastPass makes it a bit easier. Apple has some built-in card-saving features, but I think just being able to use Apple Pay will make a lot of sense. And then, of course, Siri is finally on the Mac, and they gave some improvements to Siri. So now that Siri's on the Mac, you can ask her to do sort of things like pulling up photos from this time period that have these people in them, and it does smart things like that, kind of the machine learning stuff from Siri. She can do a lot more in-depth searching through stuff on your computer. So she's gotten a little bit better of an assistant. Now, see, I haven't used Cortana enough to kind of make the comparison between Cortana and Siri yet, but I guess we'll see, because Apple again was like, oh shoot, Cortana's on the desktop. We got to get Siri on the desktop, and they put it there. But I think that's actually going to be really interesting. I use Siri quite a bit on my iPad, surprisingly, more than my phone. I don't know why. It just makes more sense. And now that it's on the computer, I could actually see myself using it quite a bit, just for basic stuff that I would save me some clicks while I'm doing other work, being able to multitask a little bit better. And then finally finished up with iOS 10, and iOS 10 was an interesting update, none the least. I don't know. It was weird. They focused on messages, and I feel like they were like appealing to the 13-year-old girl inside of me. I don't know, like, oh my gosh, it pops out in emojis, and when you type words, they can turn into emojis by just tapping them all around, like emoji. And now they're 30% bigger emojis. I'm like, I am not an emoji guy. I don't know. It was a weird announcement for the iOS side.
It was a Steve Ballmer moment, you know, when he said, developers, developers, developers. They could not stop saying the word emoji.
Yeah.
They just kept saying it. I was like, stop. And stop at the emojis.
I don't know what the focus is here. I don't know if there weren't. I mean, it's cool, and I get it, and people use emojis a lot, and it'll make it easier for them. But to have it be about 90% of your iOS update be talking about iMessage and how you've made it kind of a really awkward AIM style thing. I don't know what it is, but some of the new features are, as you're typing, I could type out an entire paragraph, and if any of the words in the paragraph have emojis related to them, you can tab all the words and turn those words into emojis instead, because that's exactly what I wanted. I couldn't believe I was missing it in my life. I didn't know it, Jim. I've been typing out paragraphs this whole time, and people don't want to read that. They want to read emojis. That is
you
what
need
they want.
More emojis, so, yeah, in your life, Mike. So, more emojis. Jeez, it's such a fad. I mean, that is, emojis are such a fad right now.
Still kind of the geek that, you know, I type in full sentences. I don't use abbreviations besides LOL. Besides that, I will, you know, periods, punctuation, capital letters at the beginning, the whole nine yards. And so for me, it was just kind of weird to see. But in other ways, they have rich links. So when you see a link in iMessage, now you're seeing that link in the thread. That's nice. I do like that. How many times, you know, you just get a link, you don't know what it is. Now you can see it right there. Sending photos a little bit easier. Allowing third parties to put things into iMessage, like if you use maybe Venmo for payment, throw that in iMessage. I know that's one thing that I would love to have in iMessage because me and my friends all use Venmo. We use it all the time. I probably use it at least once or twice a week, and just having it as an iMessage would be great. So allowing third-party apps in there is kind of nice, but beyond messages. So messages was weird. It took up a lot of it. There's some weird new chat features. They also did a little bit changing on photos, a little more focus on machine learning. So having on your device, not in the cloud, it go through and sort through your photos based on a location or a face or things and have that be searchable. Oddly enough, things that Google Photos has been doing on the app on your iPhone far, far longer than obviously before this launch. So
Microsoft too.
So you've had these features in the past. Again, this was kind of one of those catch-up moments. But one of the biggest catch-up moments of the entire event was Maps. Like, I'm like, okay, just tell people to go use Google Maps. Like, yeah, you made it pretty cool, but you made it just like Google Maps. Like, all the features that they have added into Maps now are pretty much features that have been in Google Maps before. So, like I said, though, in Apple's defense, I mean, they have their thing is hardware and customer service. They're, you know, they've never kind of been that cutting edge on software at all. Their features are way behind. When I had an iPhone for about 2 years before it could send a photo, like my flip phone 10 years before that could send a photo, but the iPhone, the first iPhone in messages could not send a photo. And so, I mean, I'm just, this is not their bread and butter with the dev stuff. And they're just letting the devs know to kind of play with it. So overall, a few very interesting features that I'll be very excited for. I'm super excited for the speed of the watch. That will be a very welcomed update. I'm excited for Siri on the Mac. And, you know, some stuff on messages I'm sure I'll fall into using. Jim, you're going to get some emojis from me. But beyond that, and so the last few updates, they updated the music app and the newsstand app. So if you're users of those, made them a little bit cleaner, easier to use, easier to find your stuff. But man, yeah, that was WWDC, and now I need a drink of water.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Don't need to go watch the 3-hour thing.
It used to be a podcasting emoji for us. You know, it's a microphone type thing. Hey, Mike, can you podcast emoji tonight? Emily in chat, let me see if I can find it again. It was super funny. Emily just said, I don't want to get messages with, in quotes, want to get pizza emoji later, ? I heart emoji, pizza emoji, with eggplant emoji.
You know that's how they talk nowadays. And, oh, man, it's just...
I know my daughter's all... I got to be careful. She's not listening. My daughter's into that in some areas, and she's pretty good about it. But it's just a bizarre... I mean, when they said that, I was like, oh, I was watching that part. I'm like, skip some more, and waiting for them to get done with the emoji part of it. Nothing earth-shattering. I think, Mac, continue to work on your hardware and let Waze take care of navigation. They've got the
WhatsApp
market.
Be the silly, funny messaging app. Right. This is the standard app that's on your phone. I don't need it being that way. And you see this stuff. Yeah. And how many business people use iPhones? A lot, right? Mm-hmm. Apple's finally broken that into that barrier. They weren't there for a long time. Now they're, oh, yeah, no, now we're for business people. And am I going to be getting emojis from, like, my work people now? Like, what you should have been and what could have been and what is supposed to be a professional relationship is now, like, they're tapping all the words and I'm seeing all these emojis and briefcases now coming to work and we're getting on a flight, so that's a plane. That's not what I want. If I wanted that, I would have gotten on WhatsApp. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a rant moment for me. I watched it and I was instantly... like, okay, that's not the direction I want to see them go.
Well, they started the whole thing with, you know, we have now 2 million apps. Well, fine, let the apps do those things.
Right.
Right? Just quit. It's almost like they have to justify their existence. Like, they can't just make a great OS that just runs and runs fast and is efficient and does stuff. If you've got some apps in the ecosystem that are doing a great job, let them do it. Stop trying to copy them. It just hasn't done any good. I don't think it's done any good for them.
No, it doesn't. And just what you said, let the third-party apps do what they want to do.
Yeah. Emily makes a good point. She says being able to delete stock apps is interesting, too. Apparently, it doesn't fully delete them. It just hides them. And I think there's been some of that feature there.
Because everyone has the Apple junk folder. Everyone's got it. It's a folder you just throw all the Apple stuff in that you don't use anymore.
Yeah.
And the reminders and all that stuff you throw in there.
Oh, so, man. Well, this comes in the fall, right? So we'll see all these new iOS available for many. If you're in the preview program, you get that right now. For those folks that were at WWDC, there'll be some beta. I think the beta for macOS comes out here pretty quick. Folks can test it out, and then everything rolls. All of this roll in the fall. So pretty interesting.
I hope they make some of those features. You turn it on. Right? Yeah. Okay, I use emojis a lot. Let me turn on the emoji thing where it highlights words. Because otherwise, can you imagine all your words being underlined?
Yeah.
That's just one more distracting thing. So I think a lot of these features will be opt-in features. So at least that's what I hope.
Didn't Tim also say you pick up the phone and now the screen comes on?
Yeah, okay. I was focusing on the bad
Windows
part. Yeah,
phone. Hello, Windows phone.
And I did forget the notifications. They changed notifications to be a lot more useful.
Yeah.
Rich notifications you can tap into, get information. The way they look, the way they feel on the screen, a lot more native. So, yeah, maybe I did skip over actually some of the good parts because I want to jump straight to how much I was mad about the iMessage.
Is it really? I'm so trained to pick up my phone. I just hit the button down below to turn it on. I don't know if I need that thing turning on when I pick it up. There's a lot of times I pick it up just to put it in my pocket or to.
Right.
But how many times
do you blow past your notifications because you accidentally wake it up at the home screen? I think that was their problem.
Notifications are so bad on the iPhone, I don't even use them.
Really?
Yeah. No. So bad. And I get so many of them that I would be scrolling forever going through to my notifications. So, no, I choose times during the day to check the apps that I need to check from a...
Okay.
Like email and those kinds of things. I've got a routine that I kind of go through. The notifications for me are not... They're worthless for me on Android, too, because there's too many of them. I turn them on for everything, which is part of the problem. And actually, the most helpful thing to me, because I turn the ringer off, I turn everything off on my phone. If you ever, you know the deal. You can't call me. It's impossible to call me. I'll never hear it because I have nothing turned on, right? Well, one of the nice things about the band is that it has a nice little vibrate that you can't hear, right? And so I was getting notifications on my band. And when it was working, right, and I was using it all the time, Sarah goes, like, what happened to you? All of a sudden, you're answering my text messages again. And it's like, what am I thinking? Oh, yeah, because I'm actually getting a real notification on it.
Right.
Phones are too loud, even on the vibrate. You know, how many meetings have you been in? You know. So that, I think, we'll have to see where they go with notifications. For me, in most cases, notifications are broken. The band brought it back, and I think if I had a watch... That would, because it vibrates too, right?
Yes. Yep. It's not. This is one of the nicest vibrates I've ever had. It literally is like they joked, and I thought they were being like kind of like, oh, it's like someone's tapping it. It is. It's like someone's taking two fingers and just tapping it. It's real nice.
It is nice. So I've got to kind of figure out my notification thing. When I have the band on, it is going off every 30 seconds. Like my band is. Maybe that's why the batteries are dying so quickly. Yeah,
no kidding.
Notification.
I wouldn't want to wear it.
Email. Well, for some reason, it worked out really well for me. Like, I didn't get annoyed by it going on my watch. When I used to have my phone and I had to vibrate on, man, I would get, like, my heart rate would go up and I would get angry at my phone because it was just vibrating all the time. I think what I need to do is I need to practice a little bit more discipline on what I get notified on.
It's a nighttime project. I went in when I got the watch because there was kind of a nice feature of, hey, look, do you want to just do all your notifications that are on your phone to your watch? I'm like, yeah, kind of. I don't want to go in and make them separate. And so I was like, but now's the time. I'm going to go in and clean those up. And it really helped. I got rid of a lot of garbage that I didn't need. Like every single game, every single thing that comes up gives you notifications. And I don't need a reminder that I can get 700 free chips if I come play the casino game I downloaded 2 months ago right now.
A lot of the notifications I get are legit. Like I get breaking sports news from CBS Sports. And that's kind of, there's some interesting, right? There's some interesting things
that
go on.
Oh, that's my ESPN one. I'm far more worldly. I had no idea what was going on in sports.
No hitters and some of those kinds of things. Yeah. You know, I get the alerts on the championship games, what's going on with the College World Series and those kinds of things. But my Yahoo email is out of control. I mean, I just get so much email through that. I get notified on every single one. Slack is terrible for this. So I have a really active Slack group, and then I've also used Slack integrations to move Twitter certain things I'm mining for on Twitter, I put that in a Slack channel. And on the phone, there's no way to differentiate between the two. It's on or it's off. And I should probably just turn it off, to be honest. Like, I don't need to be. Slack is one of those things I go to and use on a very scheduled basis. There's no communication for me currently in Slack that is depending upon me watching a notification. So I should probably just turn Slack off, right? So that's I need a little notification amnesty. That's kind of what I need. I need a day when they just and I think back in the day I heard somebody say you go in and shut them all off and then add them as you need them.
That's the way you need to do it,
you know.
You realize what you forget. Just turn them off and then, oh man, I really miss getting those.
Well, other Jim was saying he was getting mad last night because of flood warnings, right, coming on my phone. I think I needed to chill out and rejoin the physical world. Sometimes those weather warnings, and Mike, we live in the Midwest. We get that stuff during a winter storm. You know, first it's severe weather. Then it's
tornado watch.
Tornado watch. Then a tornado warning. Yeah. And then
flash flood.
Then hail. Watch. And then hail, yeah. And then it's just constantly.
Yeah.
You know, it's just constantly going on. So it's I need to practice. Just like I need to go in and clean up my LastPass account from time to time, it's probably time to go in and shut off all my my things. Oh, I was gonna say, so you know, the phone comes off lease. I've paid $1 a month for this thing, by the way. Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Wilcox set me up on that. $1 a month, so over the course of 2 years, $24 I've paid. When this thing comes off lease, I can buy it for $200, which is not too bad of a deal. Think about get your iPhone for $225. You know, that's true subsidy, right?
Right.
The question I have for you, Mike, battery-wise, will Apple replace the battery in this if it goes? Okay, all right.
Yep.
So I can go in there and
You don't have AppleCare, do you?
I don't.
Is the battery, like,
no, it's bad, fine bad? Now.
Okay.
I'm just, no.
You either need to be on AppleCare or have it be one of those things of, like, it turns off at 30%. Sometimes they'll work with you. So it's very,
I can
it's how nice you are
in
the Apple
battery, right?
I can Oh, you can pay whenever you want.
Yeah. So that's just one of those things. I'm getting to this point where I want to hold on to a phone for a while. You know, it's like my car. Most people don't trade in their car every 2 years. You know?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. Now, that's not a fair comparison, but it is. I'm getting to that point, and you know, I talked with my daughter. She's on the same phone, and I'm like, hey, when it comes due, can we just buy this for you, and this will be your college phone until this thing stops working? Because now in the United States, we're paying for phones when you buy them, right? We've pretty much made that switch over. Well, maybe I'm going to hold on to this thing for a little while. And if I can get a new battery, I mean, usually a battery lasts about 3 years, right, in most cases. If I can, for $100 or whatever, maybe it's $200, get a new battery and bring it back to life and get another couple years out of it, as long as Apple keeps doing their updates and I can get the most recent. Although, the way I use my phone, they could stop updating it today and it'd be great.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing more. I don't need emojis. So.
And you don't need, there's that Apple code, you know, that after 2 years, the Apple code in the software makes it so it slows down. You have to get a new Apple phone. Hannah asked me that in the car, out of the blue. I didn't bring it up. Hannah goes, oh, Apple hit me with the code again. I'm like, what? She goes, oh, it's about that time with my phone. Look at it. It just keeps locking up. She goes, it's been about a year and a half or 2 years. They hit me with the kill the phone code. And I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, I have to look up that. Before I make that decision, I'll have to look up that battery replacement price. You know, I've got this hybrid Civic, and I've replaced the batteries once for the tune of about $2,500. I didn't pay for that. Fortunately, a warranty paid for that. But I know it's coming again. And I have to think, like, do I turn that car in and trade it in before that thing happens, or do a DIY battery replacement when it goes and try and get those batteries cheaper? Same thing with the phone. You know, it's kind of like, all right, for $225, that's a pretty good deal. I've already used it for 2 years, though. How much longer is that battery going to hold out? Because that's really the only thing for the most part.
Right.
You know, software updates are not what they used to be, right?
You just got to get someone on your phone that makes it so you have to replace it, and then they get a new battery.
Oh, there you go.
You know?
Yeah, I'll have to talk.
It's usually my plan, yeah.
I'll have to talk to you about that. And I should probably think about buying that AppleCare someday. That probably sounds like a good way to go. Maybe. AppleCare worth it? Not worth it.
Man, that's been one of the great things lately, right? Because you pay $99 for it when you buy the phone, and then each incident of like a cracked screen is probably the most often used AppleCare. Still another like $50 or $60. So you're paying like $160 when maybe you could go get that screen replaced somewhere else, or so I don't know. It's worth it if you just need the peace of mind, right? I've got it. Apple will take care of me. I'm good. I can just walk in there, and you have AppleCare. It gives you a little bit more leverage when you go into Apple with them. You spent the money on it. We're just going to replace it. Usually, this would be a bunch of money. You bought the AppleCare, and so it kind of looks good on your record if you're a big Apple guy.
Yeah. Well, my daughter cracked her screen. We left it. She didn't have a shield. She didn't have a screen protector on it. So we put one on to hold the screen together. And then I made her. I'm terrible, Dad. I made her use that phone for about 4 months. Like, broken.
Hey.
And finally, the other night, I'm like, all right, let's go get your phone fixed. So we ran down to Westroads, had dinner at the new, have you eaten at the new?
Really cool.
Yeah.
Flagship Commons?
The Flagship Commons. Sweet. Yeah. So turned the phone in, went down to the Commons, got some really good food. I think we had at the Blatt. I think we got burgers at the Blatt. And which, by the way, sweet bar in the middle of the mall. Like, you don't see that coming.
No, not at all. It's super cool looking. Like, and it definitely doesn't fit with this mall. Like, this is the mall that needed like some work. It was starting to become a little shady. And now all of a sudden there's like this really high class place like at the end of it.
Super hip in there. So he dropped the phone off and he was like, do you want to, they were trying to sell me on the screen protector. And he goes, and we'll put, they were doing all that. I'm like, just put the thing on. Yeah, yes. I want, because it extended their warranty and some of that stuff. And so we got the screen. I think it was $150. By the time we're all said and done. So
about the same.
Yeah, it's two screens. AppleCare is really like two screens,
Right.
From that standpoint. So
right.
By the time you get done. But all right. Well, hey, so you're all caught up. And guys in the chat room, you guys did a great job tonight. So thanks for coming out and doing that. We'll remind you. A couple of reminders as we go out. Stay around for the post show. Just remember that. We'll be here for a few minutes around the post show. If you have, if you want to contact us anyway, and a lot of you have been doing that, you can send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. You can follow me on Twitter, and that account is doing pretty well, I'm not going to lie. At Jay Collison, if you want to do it. I just turned on my NASA and Science 360 auto tweets back on today. So if you noticed, it was just me posting for the podcast. And I love the NASA ones because they've got sweet pictures. Those are my favorite tweets.
You are such a space guy. And I've learned this over the past, 3 weeks. Space just keeps coming up. I had no idea that was one of your things.
Yeah, I'm a total space nerd.
That's cool.
Fun to get those turned back on. So if you're not following me on Twitter and you want to keep track of that, and I think they do one post a day. So, but you can keep up with what's going on with NASA, and it's kind of fun. I just like the pictures, to be honest with you. I put it in my own feed. I look at my own feed oftentimes. When I was doing auto tweets, I kind of used them to get the, I check the weather in the morning. Oh, what's the weather going to be? Check Twitter, because I tweet the weather every
That's night. What I do with Mac Observer. I tweet all their articles because they're awesome Mac articles. And then I go through and I read them. I'm like, oh, cool. I tweeted some good stuff.
All right, Uyghur, now you've gone too far.
I dogged on them,
I thought we had you kind of out of that Apple-ness, but no.
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 No, I'm not fully out. You can never take the Apple out of me. Still a little bit.
People are, that Uyghur. Just a reminder that the AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners, get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people you know and trust. And Christian's taking new customers. If you want to do that, $10 gets you a pretty good web service. If you're thinking of starting a blog or a podcast, head over to maplegrovepartners.com. $10 a month, super cheap. And he is doing great work. So you want to head over there and get that done. We want to thank Roger out of WLMN Radio out of Grafton, West Virginia for broadcasting us live, streaming us live. Broadcasting, I guess, is the right way to do it. Terrestrial radio out over the airwaves. So if you're in Grafton, we want to hear from you. Send us an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Love to know if you're listening. Don't forget that you can listen to Home Gadget Geeks on the Android or iPhone app. Get all of that, the big buttons to get it done, over at HomeGadgetGeeks.com. We want to thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that app. It's almost time to get Amber back on. She's almost back from maternity leave. So we'll get her. She might be back, actually, by this time. So we'll contact them. And then if you've made it to this part of the podcast, you're the most – oh, don't forget, the Amazon Tech Scholarship Fund, Amazon, averageguy.tv/Amazon. But if you made it to this part of the podcast, you're that 5% of the most engaged listeners. And I'm as we get into the winter, I'm kind of interested in getting a few more of you on the podcast who have not podcasted with me yet. So I know the regular guys, and you know, and we have Rich Hay and Nathaniel Lindley and Kevin Schoonover. Not those guys. You've never been on my podcast before, and you got a microphone, a decent microphone, and a camera. That it's getting hard on me if you don't have those things. But these are like $50. Well, there's 70 today, but you know, 50 to 70 bucks, and a decent camera. It doesn't have to be a C1, C920. I'd love to consider you for kind of a would you join us? And you got something to say. If you've got something you want to review, something you want to go over, something you want to talk about, something you want to cover. I know there's some closet podcasters out there, and we just haven't discovered them yet. And I'm not saying I'm going to put everybody on. I'm sorry to be that way, but it just doesn't work always to have everybody on. But I'd love to have a conversation with you. So if you're interested, you've been kind of lurking in the background, but you've never been on my podcast, or we'll say Dave McCabe's podcast too, because there's – between those two, they're almost the same podcast. I'm looking at new. I want to get new folks on here. I've never. We had Peter on a couple month or two ago. I think it's been. It's great to have him on the podcast. Never been on. We talked about his stuff. Fun to do, and I want to get a couple of those, maybe one or two every other month, lined up to get that done. So send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Send me what you want to talk about, and we'll try it out. And and typically in the past I've kind of just let everybody do it, and so far I've had really good luck. I haven't had to throw anybody off, but I do this time. I will. I want to have a chat with you. So let's try that out. Let's see if we get Mike. We'll see if we get some fresh faces, so to speak, on
right about the time that I have the baby. We're gonna need some.
We're probably gonna need some. Yeah, we're gonna need some fill-ins.
Right.
And if you're a lady geek, if you're listening to this and a lady geek, you're going to get higher priority. I'm just going to say we're going to move you up to the top of the list.
As your lawyer, Jim, I don't think you can say that.
Oh, is that discriminatory? I don't care. We want to encourage more women. There was a big – did you see – you probably didn't see it. There was an article put out by Collision, not Collison, but Collision. It's a website, and they highlighted – I think they said 22 of the most influential podcasters right now, and 20 of them were males. They were all white, and it was really bad, right? And while that's us, that's you and me, I would really like to encourage diversity in the podcasting space. So, unfortunately, birds of a feather flock together. I know a lot of our audience is white males between 35 and 55. If you're listening, raise your hand. If you're, that's not you, but you're pretty close, Uyghur. You're pretty close. I mean, you're in your 20s, but you're pretty close. Raise your hand, 35 to 55 white male. Okay.
I would hope,
and Emily says, yeah, they took that post, they took it down. You know, we had James and Emily on, it was just great to have a little bit of diversity in the podcast. So, if you're out there and you want to do that, give me a ring, jim@theaverageguy.tv, we'd like to try you out for that as well, and we'd like to add a little diversity, both with women and in other things from a diversity standpoint. Mike, you're an exercise in diversity by itself because, one, you're young, and, two, you're Apple.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. And I'm a lawyer. Everyone hates lawyers. No one wants a lawyer on their show, so now, you know.
You're an Apple lawyer. That's like a double whammy, man.
God, kick me off. Get me out of here.
How the hell did that happen? All right, well, we are We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at TheAverageGuy.tv live, and we're totally fair because tonight we covered Windows, Microsoft, Apple, iOS. We covered it all, and that's what we do. We're home gadget geeks. We're not necessarily tied down to that. We're out here every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at TheAverageGuy.tv live. We'll be back again. Oh, I should probably talk about, I mean, because we've got some cool stuff coming up. Dwayne's coming back next week. To do part two of his kind of home automation stuff. So if you liked Dwayne when he was in here, and actually Dwayne sparked a controversy, Mike.
Really?
From the Making Dad show said, man, Dwayne was kind of unfair to Chromebooks. So we're going to bring Nathaniel back in the month and do a complete show on Chromebooks. We've got to Edward Weininger coming back to talk about Bitcoin. Schoonover's back on. Well, it's always good to have Schoonover. Of course, Ryan Parker is coming on. So we've got some great stuff ahead. 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, AverageGuy.tv/live. We'll be back next Thursday. With that, we'll say good night, everybody.